In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Way to go, St. Cross. You were listening to the signs of God's love pulpit announcements the past few weeks. It is a sea of red out there that will make Reverend Rachel proud if she ever logs on to watch this service, which I highly doubt. We wear red to help celebrate what is, in my opinion, the most significant sign of God's love for us, Pentecost, not to minimize crucifixion and resurrection. It is not uncommon for Christians to believe that Pentecost is all about the phenomenon of speaking in tongues, meaning glossolalia, a kind of ecstatic speech practiced by St. Paul and his congregations. Some Christianities focus heavily on this aspect of relationship with God in worship and personal piety. When I was a child, I witnessed one such event at my interdenominational church. A man rose in the middle of the service and began speaking in an incomprehensible utterance no one could understand. Since no interpreter followed to tell the congregation what the man was witnessing to, the pastor thanked the man and, with the help of the good ushers, asked him to sit down. In our scripture from Acts today, note that there is no need for an interpreter and no one is being silenced. What happened on the day of our Christian Pentecost is much more exciting, mystical, far-reaching, and real. What is being communicated through the power of the Spirit is completely intelligible and understood by everyone. Our reading from Acts today states that when the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. The author is actually referring to the Jewish festival of Shavuot, also known as the Festival of Weeks or Booths. Both of those are correct. The Jewish community occasionally refers to Shavuot as Pentecost, which literally means 50, because it occurs 50 days or 7 weeks after Passover. The ancient historian Josephus, who would be extremely ancient now if he was still with us, Josephus tells us it is the most important Jewish festival, and it is centered on the temple in Jerusalem. It combines both a Thanksgiving harvest celebration at that time, as well as God's gifting of the Torah on Mount Sinai. The temple held the hope and the promise that God resided there and from there would flow out into the world. Jesus was deeply connected to this tradition. In fact, in another very familiar story in John, at the pinnacle of the festival, Jesus cried out saying, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink." So it makes a lot of sense that 50 days after his resurrection, the Spirit of Jesus showed up at a crucial festival moment to a large number of his disciples. Now, an interesting part of this miracle that we might not readily remember is that Jesus told the disciples in no uncertain terms to hang out in Jerusalem, to wait there for the promise of the Father, wait to be clothed with power from on high. He promised them that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Just imagine their shock and awe when they finally understood what the heck Jesus was talking about. Now, scholars say that this account in Acts can be thought of as an extension of gifts of Jesus' gift of the Holy Spirit to his initial disciples gathered in the house that we also read today. If you thought the disciples in the upper room were frightened, just imagine the folks with zero preparation gathered outside the house when Spirit arrived. Arrived as a vision of tongues that looked like fire and the sound like a violent wind. Now that's a clear sign of God's love that we may not, deep down, really want to experience. Pentecost is that awesome and life-altering miracle when God extended God's self for our sake in a new way, pouring into them his very Spirit, empowering them to speak so others could hear, filling them with the ability to attest to God's deeds of power through Jesus the Christ, proving the reality of the triune God, and leaving them steeped in God's peace. Same Spirit that was breathed in creation in Genesis, same Spirit breathed by Jesus on the frightened disciples in his second resurrection appearance we hear in the Gospel of John, but with a twist. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit on those who gathered in Jerusalem is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that his presence and peace will always be with us, will never leave us. That we can rest assured that Spirit has been with us in the worst times, in what we are facing now, and what we will be experiencing in the future. It is dynamic and interactive. It is not stagnant. Spirit is constantly being poured out on all flesh, all humanity, all of creation. The Spirit, the Advocate, will teach us what we need to know as we go along the paths of our lives. There is no need to live in fear. Now, there are certainly so many times in our personal lives and our life on this planet where it seems the Spirit has gone absent. It can be hard to remember that God has a mission. The good news is that God's mission of presence, peace, and wholeness for the earth and all that is in it has a church. We are that body. We are witnesses to the truth that Spirit exists, Spirit is real, and Spirit is active despite evidence to the contrary. This last week, I was in Boston at my niece's grad school graduation from Brandeis University. We went to a reception for the Heller School of Social Policy, where my niece and I managed a photo op with none other than Professor Anita Hill. Indeed. Gathered were folks from almost every continent on Earth. An incredible array of peoples and languages were represented. Imagine my surprise when the dean started her address with how blessed they all were to be beloved community, working for justice in the world in so many different ways. I thought I was in church. Spirit was in that room, no doubt. I also think of places like South Africa breaking down apartheid, and places like Rwanda healing from genocide. I remember our very own vestry, hearing the need for housing for our first refugees and being able to make a decision right then and there that St. Cross was up for the task. Yes, the Spirit of Jesus is still in the room. Spirit is always communicating, sometimes subtly, sometimes more like a violent wind. Listen and watch. Take time to welcome it in. Cultivate a relationship through prayer and an open heart and an open mind. Look for signs of God's love flowing out. No need to be afraid, for Spirit brings with it God's presence and mercy, and always God's peace. There is no better reason to rejoice. Amen.